It's good to be with you today. I'm going to be returning to a series that we were on a while back about child training. And first, I would like to say it was a really good week last week to be together in the study of Judges with Gary with us. I'm really glad that we had that. And it's also really good to have visitors with us today. We really appreciate the fact that you've come and been with us today, and we look forward now to getting into the Word together. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've talked a lot about this text in the past in the series. I'll just say here, reminding us for those that didn't hear it before, this is not just control a child. Children need to be controlled, but they need to be more than controlled. They need to be trained. Because if you simply control someone, you haven't gotten to the heart. And then you'll see the type of attitude that says, as soon as I'm 18, I'm going to do this or that or something else. We want to train up a child as we ourselves need to be what? Trained. To serve God and have that submissive attitude before God. And the submissive attitude that we can instill in a child to respect their parents while they are young can then translate very well into an attitude that understands the need to submit and respect a much greater father later. We were on, after going through a number of things like failing to discipline, being inconsistent, rewarding misbehavior, different things, we were on this point, which is underestimating threats. And this is easy to do. There are lots and lots of good people who are not always aware and perceptive of what's going on around them. You can be in an environment where you're wanting to do what's good, you're wanting your family to do what's good, you're wanting your children to do what's good, but if you're not, remember the passage we talked about in 1 Peter today, be sober, be watchful, your adversary the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking someone to devour. If you found out that somebody had a contract out on one of your children, that for some reason maybe they'd been witness to a crime and organized crime figures had put a contract on your child, would that affect how you operate? Yes, it would. You wouldn't just think, well, I want my son to have a good day. Hope all goes well. You'd realize somebody's trying to get him. Well, what does Peter tell us? 1 Peter 5 tells us, be sober. Be watchful. You have an adversary looking for somebody to devour. That can be you. That can be me. It can be our children. Who does a lion often go after? Yeah. And so we need to be aware of these things. We talked about corruption from the entertainment media. We talked about corruption from the internet, pornography. Stephen had a lesson on that just recently, very effective. I'm not going to take much time on that, but just to again mention a point or two and underscore the need of parents to understand this. Aside from, I talked about some other things recently where there are apps that people now, there's areas, especially urban areas and college areas, where college students are not even dating anymore. They just go to an app. And they sweep right or left to decide who they're going to sleep with that night. It's become anonymous almost. There's just this cheapened, shallow perversion in our society now that the internet facilitates. One other thing you need to be aware of, if you're not, very prevalent in our high schools, and it's not just in the high schools, middle schools and colleges and elsewhere, is what they call sexting. And instead of texting, there's just a lot of young men that will send a text to your daughter and just say, send me some nudes. I'm sorry to be as graphic as that, but that's what's going on out there. And a lot of girls are sending them back. Partly, this is just perversion. Partly, it's the folly of parents who have not realized what's going on electronic devices, and they just, like the young man who told me, my father gave me this for my birthday. I wish he never would have given it to me. I've used the illustrations in the past. If your son asks for a fish or a gerbil, you might say yes. If he asks for a king cobra or a rattlesnake, you're going to say no. You're not going to ask him how careful. You're not going to just give him access to that. You don't just give access to a child to a gun before you're sure there's some maturity there and care and supervision of how to use it. You don't give them the keys to a car before there's a maturity there and a readiness and a responsibility to use it. You might give them access to some Tums or some milk and magnesia or something, but you don't give them unfettered access to a pharmacy. You might give them juice or milk, but you wouldn't just stock their room full of alcohol and drugs and various other things and just say, well, you know, pick what's good. Over the internet, there are very, very good things, but there's a lot of people making a lot of money. The pornography industry worldwide makes more money than NBC, than Fox, than a Major League Baseball team, that in fact, I think all of them combined, or NBA. It's huge. And there's a lot of people going to a lot of trouble to target anybody they can get, and that includes your children. We've got a narcissistic society, too, that just kind of the whole selfie. Now, I don't mean it's wrong to take a photograph where you're in the photograph and you're holding it out. But you know what I'm talking about when we say we are in a narcissistic society. Do you remember who Narcissus was? He was the guy in Greek mythology who was just so impressed with how handsome he was. And he got to a lake and he looked in. Oh, look at me. And he just couldn't take his gaze off of how magnificent he looked. And I forget if he fell in or just stayed there till he drowned or till he starved or what. But the point is, that's our society. Look at me. I often think about, you know, people do on the internet, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. Before we had the internet, it just, you know, if I'd walked up and showed you a photograph, hey, look at me, that would be kind of strange. Well, there's a reason that would be kind of strange. But that's exploited in young men trying to get young girls to send them pictures and vice versa and everything else. Please understand the danger out there. Be sober. Be watchful. Know what's going on with your children. Don't just think this is what you give them. We talked about offenders, predators. Because of this, you have got child molesters and rapists and worse now have an easy way of getting in contact with children. You might have seen, I think we mentioned this a couple of months ago, there was in the news a video where a man just said, I can get your teenage daughter to come meet me. And some of the parents thought no. And he got online, and then, like, here comes this 15-year-old girl, and they filmed it. 15-year-old girl runs out of the house and jumps in an unmarked panel van with someone that she's never met in her life. The parents were in the back. But, you know, and the person showing that this can happen. We've got to understand what's going on out there. Another thing, there are a lot of agendas in our educational system that we need to understand. There's different choices you can make educationally. You can use the public school system, you can use charter system, you can use private schools, you can use homeschool. But you need to understand what's going on out there. In the public school system, there are some really good people. I've got a good friend of mine that's a principal up here at Arntsville Elementary. Very good man. I trust him a great deal. There's teachers that are really good people. But there are a lot of people that influence the educational system at a national level who have agendas. And part of their agenda is to undo what you are trying to do with your children. Do you want to train your children in the way that they should go and to serve the Lord? There's a lot of people that want to do the opposite of that. There was a professor in New Mexico, and she said, we've got to get rid of this idea that children belong to their parents. There was the episode, I mentioned it before, but in Massachusetts, it illustrates the problem well. First grader, I think it was, or so, went to school, came home, and they had been given like a diversity pack or something, and they were using the book King and King about a little prince, and the king's trying to marry him off, and they bring in princess after princess after princess, and he's just not interested in those princesses. Then they bring in a prince, and then it closes with them both kicking up their legs and kissing in a child drawn book. You know, the same type of drawing that you would expect, you know, for some other child book, like, you know, The Bunny Hop to Town or something, except this is promoting homosexuality. This father went to the school system or went to the teacher, and he said, we're going to teach our son about these things. If you're going to talk about these things, I want you to notify us in advance so our child won't be there that day or give him some other assignment. The teacher arrogantly said, this is not a parental notification issue. He kept pressing the point. They said, this is not a parental notification issue, which means this is not any of your business. He refused to accept that. He wouldn't leave. He kept pressing. He refused to accept that. And because he wouldn't and stayed there and kept saying, no, this is not, and I'm not leaving, they called the police, and he was handcuffed and arrested. There's people out there with a lot of agendas. And I want you to think about the blurring and rejection of gender and gender roles. It's not just homosexuality that is now being promoted. I want you to think about how many ways just the very basic idea of gender is being violated. Open your Bible, please. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He told them in verse 28, be fruitful. Multiply, replenish the earth. In chapter 2, we have a picture of the creation of woman. Man is not good for man to be alone. The animals are not fit meat for help meats for the man. He creates from the man the woman, and from the rib she is made. And in verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. After they sin and the curses are applied, notice the emphasis in the gender roles. Adam is to be the provider by the sweat of your brow. You are to work and provide. The woman, in particular, it relates to her the focuses of the curses also focus to on her roles as mother and as wife. In pain you shall bear children in your desire to be your husband. There's certain gender roles you can see even in those texts, but you have gender. There are, in Europe, there are now clothing establishments that, you know, like you go, this is a woman's clothing place, or this is a man's clothing place, or you go to something like Sears or JCPenney, here's the men's department, there's the ladies' department. There's a store now, it's just unisex. And they're targeting that. There's a whole lot of young people who are aiming for an androgynous look. They don't want to be distinctly seen to be female or male. It's just a blurry in between. Bisexuality is much more prominent, I think, on campuses than actual homosexuality. The blurring that goes on, and it's getting, and then of course we've all seen. You look up Bruce Jenner, okay? You remember who won the decathlon? Look up Bruce Jenner, say on Wikipedia. It will redirect. There's no longer an article for Bruce Jenner. Redirects to Caitlyn Jenner, and it'll talk about when she was on the Wheaties box. She was not on the Wheaties box. That was Bruce Jenner. And that's not a she. That's Bruce Jenner in a dress. We've got schools and universities saying that their trans whatever students get to decide which bathroom they use. And even in lower schools now, this is becoming an issue. Male and female. Look at back in the old law, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Notice this. This is the law of Moses, but notice it. Verse 5. In like manner, excuse me. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. That doesn't mean that Moses was saying women have to wear dresses, men have to wear pants. They didn't have pants. They wore robe-type things. But there were men that wore men's clothes, and there were women that wore women's clothes, and it said it is an abomination for the woman to be wearing man's clothes, and it's an abomination for the man to be wearing woman's clothes. There were to be distinctions. Look in 1 Corinthians 11 on appearance as well, where it talks about in verse 12, the man is the head of woman, Christ is the head of man, etc. For as in verse 12, as the woman is of the man, so is the man also of the woman, but all things are of God. Verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it's a dishonor to him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her? There were distinctions. A woman was a woman and a man is a man. And there are a lot of people and a lot of trendsetters. And one of the modeling agencies in New York has now hired a woman as a male model. Not a transgender person. They've hired a woman to be a male model. And you're wanting to dress the men more femininely. You're wanting to dress the women more masculinely. You're wanting to... Do you think this doesn't have any effect on our children? Do you remember what Gary talked about the other night? As an aside, he was saying, we need to teach our boys to be boys and our girls to be girls. One of the big retailers just recently, there was a complaint, and so before where they had like boys' toys here and girls' toys here, they had to change the signage because we don't want a stereotype thing, and these are, and you see it all the time. What's being attacked is the very idea in some cases, of gender and of gender distinction and gender roles. Guys, girls, don't be, and I'm not saying, for instance, years ago, On the way in this morning, I was listening. There was a news program on NPR, and it was about a new book called Unfinished Business, and it's apparently a big to-do right now. It's a couple. He's a political science professor at Princeton University. She was the first female dean of School of International Relationships or something at Princeton. Several years ago, Hillary Clinton asked her to come to the State Department and head up something there. I forget which department. So she was a high profile job. And so as they were being interviewed, she was talking about she went, and so now her husband's having to take care of the kids because she's down in Washington. She comes home for the weekend, and she's doing this. You know, Hillary tells her to do this. She's working on China or this. He's back at home trying to get the kids to school, you know, and different things. And then she made the decision to go back because one of the kids in particular wasn't doing well and had been suspended from school and different things, and the father's trying to deal with it, and he wasn't able to handle it all. They had an interview, too, with, I think, the CEO of Pepsi, and she was saying, you know, we're doing really good at our jobs, but if you ask our daughters if we're doing a good job at parents, I'm not sure what they would say. And she was talking, so she made the decision to leave Washington. She went back to Princeton. She's working at Princeton, but she's there at least where she's able to have time with her kids. But they were talking about the shift in our society from where men used to be providers and the women took care of things at home. And now this couple was talking about, like, when they went in, they decided we're just going to go in, everything's going to be 50-50. There's a lot of things wrong with that concept of 50-50 in marriage. One thing is this. If you approach marriage and say, okay, I'm going to give 50%, and you're going to give 50%, invariably somebody is going to look at the other person's 50 and it looks like it's coming up short. And so then, well, if she's only putting 40% into the marriage, I'm not putting more than 30%. And you know, when somebody's at 48, that looks to the other person, you know, 52. You know, look, I'm not talking just about money here, but just a principle. You think of shingles on a roof. How do you put shingles on a roof? Do you say, okay, this shingle covers up to right there, and that shingle covers up to right there. You do your job, I'll do mine. What's going to happen in that house? You're going to have leaks. When you're roofing a house, what do you do with those shingles? You overlap. Marriage needs, you're not saying, this is where I stop. The husband needs to give, and the wife needs to give. But they don't just give the same thing. Look at Ephesians 5. Wives, verse 22, be in subjection to your husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. It doesn't say wives be in subjection to your husband. It says, excuse me, that is what it said. It doesn't say husbands be in subjection to your wives. It says wives be in subjection to your husbands. And then, verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. That's a lot deeper than this. But husbands, we need to be ready to die for our wives. That's not the point here. That's not all the point here, but it's included in that. It would be. If there's a bullet coming, it's not the wife's job to push the husband aside and take the bullet, or if there's a bus coming, sorry, honey, boom. Yeah, that's husband territory, okay? We're the one that gets hit by the truck. We're the one that stays on the boat and put the wife, women and children first on the raft. That's part of the duty. This is much more beyond that. This is like Christ's sacrifice for the church. That's the kind of love you need to have for your wife. It's a sacrificial love. Men, you're made to be leaders, but not leaders so I get to have my way. I get to boss people around. You're a leader with a responsibility to have a sacrificial love. I need to sacrifice myself so that my wife is honored and has what she needs. But we're in a society that's undermining all of this. Boys need to be boys. Girls need to be girls. That doesn't mean that husbands say, I'm not changing a diaper, or I'm not, you know, it doesn't mean that everything you do has to be as macho as possible. I mean, Paul was a tent maker. Well, Priscilla was also a tent maker. It's not Paul was a lumberjack. You know, it's, but in little ways, when you're parenting, there are going to be some times when you need to guide things this way or that way. I've got a friend of mine. He's a very masculine guy. He's a good man. When he was a little boy, his favorite color was pink. The parents didn't freak out, but neither did they dress him in all pink and say, let's get you a pink tutu. You've got parents out there and they're being celebrated in the media because when their four-year-old or five-year-old decides he wants to be a girl, they put him in a dress and call him a girl's name. One woman was saying, when I was a little girl, I was such a tomboy. If you'd asked me at that point, you know, I liked playing with the boys. And then she said, then I hit my teens and everything changed. What an upside down, foolish world we live in right now. I don't have time to talk about that one right now because our time's about up. I really intended to get to this point today, but we did not. And so rather than just rush through these points and go over time, we're just going to stop right there. This world would not make it if there weren't men in it and women in it. Because you take out either of those, and that's it. God created men. And there's some things they're not as good at, but there's some things they're better at. God created women. And there's some things they may not be as good at, and there's some things that they're better at. And God created roles, and God created an attraction there, and God created an environment where they're to be able to grow up, and that's in a home. And when possible, sometimes there's death, sometimes there's illness, sometimes there's... But when possible, when the home can be retained and it can be there and both man and woman are there and both are healthy enough to fulfill their roles and different things, it provides for a foundation for raising children who don't have as many hang-ups as a lot of these kids out there that are having. A lot of these kids out there that are so desperate for attention and don't know who they are and are so confused, a lot of it is because they didn't have two parents at home loving them and taking care of them. And it left huge psychological voids in their hearts. Realize what's going out here in the world and let's raise our young men to be young men that'll serve God. And let's raise our young ladies to be young ladies that'll serve God. Thank you for your attention. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come and stand and sing?